This article is brought to you by the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. How to channel conflict anxiety as productive energy instead of letting it hijack your emotional control. Turn the nervous energy of conflict into focused, purposeful action. In short, conflict anxiety is not the enemy of emotional control. It is raw energy that needs direction, not elimination. When you learn to read your body's warning signals early, name what is happening, and apply a grounding technique before you speak, that same nervous energy becomes focus, clarity, and presence. Anxiety in conflict is a physiological state you can redirect, not a character flaw to overcome. Catching the early physical signals is more powerful than trying to calm down mid-explosion. A reliable pre-response ritual is the difference between reacting and choosing. Definition: conflict anxiety emotional control is the practice of recognizing the body's stress response during disagreement and redirecting that energy into deliberate, composed communication. It replaces the automatic fight or flight reaction with a conscious, chosen response that keeps thinking clear and dialogue productive. You know the feeling. Your chest tightens. Your mouth goes dry. Someone says something in a meeting and something inside you fires before you've even decided to speak. That is conflict anxiety, and for most people, it does not feel like energy. It feels like a warning siren with no off switch. I watched a good manager destroy a year of trust in a 3-minute conversation because she had never learned to work with that signal rather than through it. She had the right words prepared. What she lacked was any method for managing the physiological state that flooded her the moment the tension rose. The capacity for emotional control in conflict is not about becoming unfeeling. It is about learning what your body is telling you and having a system ready before the pressure arrives. Why your nervous system is not your enemy here. Most people treat anxiety before or during conflict as a problem to be eliminated. That instinct is understandable, but it is wrong. The physical arousal you feel when disagreement looms is your nervous system doing exactly what it was built to do, preparing you to respond to threat. Your heart rate increases. Your attention sharpens. You become hyper-aware of the other person. The problem is not the arousal itself. The problem is that unmanaged arousal narrows your thinking. It floods your brain with urgency and collapses the space between stimulus and response. You stop choosing and start reacting. What you need is not to kill the signal, but to work with it. Understanding the amygdala hijack is the first step. When the brain's threat detection system fires, it bypasses the reasoning centers and sends you straight into automatic behavior. The anxiety you feel in conflict is that hijack beginning. The good news is that you can interrupt it, but only if you have prepared what to do before it happens. What you need before any step begins. Before you can channel conflict anxiety as productive energy, one condition must be in place. You need a personal baseline. That means knowing what your specific early warning signals look like. Not everyone registers stress the same way. Some people feel it in their throat. Others notice their hands. Some go cold. Others flush. I spent years ignoring my own early signals and paying for it by speaking too fast, too hard, or too late. The body always gives notice before the explosion. The question is whether you are listening. Before a difficult conversation, take 2 minutes to notice your current physical state. Is your jaw tight? Is your breathing shallow? Where do you feel the tension sitting? This is not meditation for its own sake. It is reconnaissance. You cannot redirect a state you have not noticed yet. The 6-step process for turning conflict anxiety into focused energy. Step 1. Name the state out loud to yourself. The moment you notice your anxiety rising, say it privately and clearly. I'm activated right now. Not I am angry or I'm scared. Simply, I am activated. This small act of labeling interrupts the automatic cascade. It moves you from limbic reaction into language, which means you're already engaging your reasoning brain. Research language does not belong here, but this much I know from practice: naming a state reduces its power over you. It creates a fraction of distance between you and the reaction. That distance is where your choices lie. Step 2. Run a physical interrupt. Once you have named the state, give your body something deliberate to do. The most reliable method I have used is a 4-count breath, 4 seconds in through the nose, hold for 2, 6 seconds out through the mouth. Do this 3 times before you say anything further. This is not a trick. Extending your exhale activates the parasympathetic nervous system, which is the branch that slows your heart rate and begins to restore cognitive function. You are working with your physiology rather than fighting it. If breathing feels too subtle, press your feet into the floor and consciously relax your jaw. Ground yourself physically. Your body needs a signal that the immediate threat is not life-threatening. Step 3. Identify what you actually need from this conversation. Anxiety in conflict is often amplified by vagueness. You feel threatened, but threatened by what? You are afraid, but afraid of what outcome? Taking 30 seconds to answer one question reduces the noise considerably. What do I actually need here? Not what do I want to win, and not what do I want to say. What do you need? An acknowledgement, a practical resolution, a boundary respected. Naming your need gives your energy somewhere to go. Without it, the arousal has no target and becomes static. When unmet needs drive conflict, the anxiety compounds. Knowing your need before you speak is how you stop that compounding. Step 4. Prepare one grounding sentence. Before you open the conversation or respond to what has been said, prepare a single sentence that orients both you and that other person. This is not a script for the whole conversation. It is an anchor, one clear, neutral statement of why you're here and what you want to achieve. Something like, I want us to work through this together, and I want to make sure I hear you clearly. Or, I'm not here to win this argument. I want us to reach something we can both live with. The act of preparing and saying the sentence slows your delivery, focuses your intention, and signals to the other person that you're not in attack mode. It also gives your anxiety somewhere constructive to go. Step 5. Use the energy. Do not bury it. This step is the one most people skip. You have done the breathing. You have named the state. Now use the heightened alertness that the anxiety has given you. Your senses are sharper than normal. Your attention is focused. You are primed to notice things. Direct that attention deliberately at the other person. Watch their body language. Listen for what they are not saying. Ask a question rather than making a statement. The signs of an amygdala hijack in real time are visible if you're watching for them. When you're observing rather than just reacting, your anxious energy becomes useful. You are gathering information. That is a far better use of the arousal than venting it. Step 6. Build in a deliberate pause before any escalation point. You will know when the conversation is about to spike. There is usually a beat where the other person says something that triggers you again, or where you feel the urge to push harder. That beat is your signal to pause, not accelerate. A pause of 3 to 5 seconds feels long in conversation. It is not. It is the gap that saves conversations. Say, give me a moment to think about that. Physically sit back if you can. Breathe. This is not weakness. It is the application of everything you have just built. The tools for de-escalating conflict without destroying the relationship depend entirely on whether you can hold this pause under pressure. Practice it until it becomes instinct. When the conversation is remote or asynchronous. Managing conflict anxiety is harder in remote settings, and here is why you lose the physical cues that help you regulate. You cannot see the full body. You cannot feel the room. The anxiety arrives the same way, but your grounding tools feel less natural when you're staring at a small screen. In remote conflict, build 2 additional habits. First, keep your camera on, always. Seeing the other person's face, even partially, gives your nervous system more information and reduces the threat perception that comes from ambiguity. Second, use the mute button as a legitimate breathing tool. When you need to run a physical interrupt, mute briefly, breathe, then unmute and respond. This is not avoidance. It is the same deliberate pause, adapted to the medium. If the conversation is asynchronous, meaning email or messaging, you have more time, but the anxiety can linger longer too. Write your response, then wait at minimum 10 minutes before sending. Read it once for content, once for tone. Ask yourself, would I say this if we were in the same room? If the answer is no, rewrite it. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling book 8 Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at emonblackthorne.com. Now, back to the article. The 3 places emotional control most often breaks down. After decades of observing this, and getting it wrong plenty of times myself, I have noticed that people derail in predictable ways. Here are the 3 most common failures, and what to do about each. The mistake: waiting too long to apply the grounding technique. Why it happens: people believe they can manage the emotion as it peaks rather than catching it early. What to do instead: set a lower threshold. The moment you feel the first physical signal, apply step 1 and step 2 immediately. Do not wait until you are flooded. A mistake: confusing suppression with control. Why it happens: the cultural message that strong people do not show emotion leads people to clamp down rather than redirect. What to do instead: control is active. It means naming the state, regulating the body, and choosing your response. Suppression is passive and stores pressure. Control releases it productively. The core framework for staying calm when feedback triggers defensiveness is an excellent model for the distinction. The mistake: having no prepared anchor sentence and improvising under pressure. Why it happens: people assume they will find the right words in the moment. Anxiety destroys that assumption. What to do instead: prepare your anchor sentence before every significant conflict conversation. Write it down if you need to. The act of preparing it is itself calming. Your pre-conversation emotional readiness check. Use this before any conversation you know will carry tension. It takes under 3 minutes. Number 1. Body scan. Where am I holding tension right now? Jaw, hands, chest, stomach. Number 2. State name. What am I actually feeling? Anxious, irritated, uncertain, defensive. Number 3. Need check. What do I need from this conversation to feel that it went well? Number 4. Anchor sentence. What is the one sentence I will say to open or orient this exchange? Number 5. Breath reset. 3 cycles of 4 in, 2 hold, 6 out. Do this now, before you begin. Number 6. Intention set. Am I going into this to win or to resolve? Choose resolution deliberately. Run this check before any conversation that matters. I cover a version of this preparation ritual in Say It Right Every Time through the Strong Method, which builds the same pre-conversation readiness into a reliable 6-step sequence. The underlying principle is identical: preparation is the only thing that reliably beats anxiety under pressure. What happens when you apply this in the room? Let me give you a concrete picture. You are in a meeting. A colleague challenges something you've said, and the tone carries an edge. You feel your chest tighten immediately. Here is the process in real time. You do not respond immediately. You name the state internally. I am activated. You take one slow breath. You notice your hands on the table and press your feet into the floor. You say calmly, "That is an important point. Give me a moment to think about how I want to respond to that." Then you ask one clarifying question. Can you say more about what concerned you? You have just used your conflict anxiety to pay closer attention, not to fire back. The tension in the room drops. You are in the conversation rather than hostage to it. The DEAL method for resolving fractured team conflict gives you the structural framework for what comes after this moment. But the emotional control piece must come first. You cannot run a good process from a flooded nervous system for feedback conversations specifically, where anxiety compounds because the relationship stakes feel personal. The approach to the amygdala hijack in feedback situations is worth reading alongside this process. The mechanics are the same. The context adds its own pressures. Frequently asked questions. What is conflict anxiety emotional control? Conflict anxiety emotional control is the ability to recognize the stress response that conflict triggers and redirect that nervous energy into calm, purposeful action. It means staying regulated enough to think clearly, choose your words deliberately, and engage productively instead of reacting from fear or anger. How do you stop anxiety from hijacking you during conflict? You stop the hijack by catching the physical warning signs early, naming what you're feeling, and using a deliberate breathing or grounding technique before you speak. The goal is not to eliminate the anxiety, but to interrupt the automatic reaction and replace it with a conscious, chosen response. Why does conflict trigger such a strong emotional response? Your brain processes conflict as a threat, triggering the same stress response as physical danger. The nervous system floods the body with adrenaline, narrows your thinking to fight or flight options, and makes nuanced communication almost impossible until you bring the physiological arousal back down to a workable level. Can you use conflict anxiety as a positive force? Yes, the physiological arousal that conflict triggers is energy, and energy is neutral until you direct it. When you learn to channel that heightened alertness into focused attention and deliberate speech, anxiety becomes an asset rather than a liability. The key is preparation and a reliable self-regulation method.
How long does it take to regain emotional control during conflict?
Most people can shift their physiological state meaningfully within 60 to 90 seconds using deliberate breathing or grounding techniques. Full cognitive recovery from an emotional hijack takes longer, often 3 to 5 minutes. The earlier you catch the warning signs, the less recovery time you need.
What is the difference between emotional control and emotional suppression in conflict?
Emotional control means recognizing your feelings, regulating your nervous system, and choosing how you respond. Emotional suppression means pushing feelings down without processing them, which typically increases tension and leads to a larger outburst later. Control is active and deliberate. Suppression is passive and ultimately counterproductive. The anxiety you feel before a hard conversation is not a sign that you're not ready. It is a sign that you care about the outcome. Conflict anxiety emotional control is not the art of pretending otherwise. It is the practice of taking that care and turning it into composure, clarity, and the courage to stay in the conversation until something real is resolved.
That practice is learnable. It just requires preparation, repetition, and the willingness to catch yourself early every time.
Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblickthorne.com to get your copy.